If you haven't been here in a couple of weeks, you may notice that Unfinished is finished. And we are in a new series, The Work of Faith. And many times we want to think that, well, we have faith, and there you go, we have it. But not only does faith work, you have to work at your faith. It is incumbent upon us not to just sit around and go, well, I've got it. God gave it to me, so I'm done with it. No, you work at it. And last week we looked at James chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. And we found that it is incredibly tough to live, to think, to be people of faith when we are struggling. Those times when we think we're totally alone. Those times when we ask, and I would venture to say that many of us, if not all of us, have been there. Why, Lord? Why? Why is this happening? Why did this occur? Why me? Scripture plainly puts before us that our faith will be tested. It will be tested. You know, it's a violent process. You realize that. It's painful. When you work out and when you are testing your muscles, you realize that you are tearing. It's violent. You're tearing those muscles. And then they rebuild and regain and you become stronger. Same thing. So how should we respond? And I'll just review very quickly with one slide. How do we respond? Well, we need to be patient. Because when you meet trials, not if you meet trials, they're coming. I mean, we as a church ought to know. It's not if there's going to be storms. It's you're either in the storm, you're coming out of the storm, or you're going into a storm. Anything we ought to know about storms, we've had them all week. That's the way, I don't know about you. I found a window of time yesterday. I was going, I got to mow this yard. Are you kidding me? It's a jungle out there. But look forward to the full effect. We do not see the full effect in the midst of the storm. They will always tell you, in storm, I mean, it was amazing. I was taking Kendall over to school this week, and I'm driving down the highway, and you can see, it's like a line where the trees are green, and all of a sudden they're gray. And you know I'm about to go into the storm, and when you get in there, you immediately have to turn on the windshield wipers because visibility is low. Same thing, when you're in the midst of testing in the storm, your visibility is low. You cannot see, but look forward to seeing the full effect of what will be. I posted on Facebook, it said, you know, I'm not the same person that went into the storm. And by the way, that was the point of the storm. That I wouldn't be the same person. Pray through the pain. It tells us, pray for wisdom. You must be in prayer as you're going through the storm, as you're being tested. Take a position of humility. You are not better than this. We need and we deserve those storms. So many times, why me? Well, Lord, don't you know what I did and who I am? We know what we deserve. Death, hell, eternal separation from our Lord. And yet, He saves us. So when the hardships of this world come, we're not better than those hardships. We need them. And we do deserve them. Remain steadfast. Stay the course. Stay the course. But then we're told that our testing and our temptations, they come from within us. It is our corrupt and sinful nature that pulls and tears. There's that violence. It pulls and tears. Our sinful nature pulls and tears against our spiritual nature. It's violent. We want to look at God and blame Him. Heck, we'll blame anyone. Anyone, but not me. Go back to Adam and Eve. I mean, they sinned. And first thing Adam says, it was that woman that you gave me. It's not me, Lord. It's not in me. It's her, and it must be you. Turns to the woman. Wasn't me. It was a snake. We're ready to blame everyone else, and yet our temptations come from within us. It was the lust in their eyes. It is our worldly lust, our longings, our desires and ambitions that wage war against our souls. It's violent. But James reminds us that all good things come from the Lord. It is His will that we know Him. It is our will that we were running away from Him. But His will that we would know Him. So we pick up with James chapter 19. And again, I had great aspirations. They fell short again. We are not going to get finished with chapter 1. We'll get a little ways there. But I knew we were partaking of the Lord's Supper. And so I didn't want to bite off more than I could chew this morning. I didn't want to sell short the passage that was here. But I want us to read James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. But first let me pray over the reading and preaching of God's Word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray that You would inhabit the preaching of Your Word. The hearing of Your Word. And Lord, as we see today, I pray that it goes much further than that. Lord, I pray for our students and our teachers that tomorrow as they walk into the first day of school for the 2016-2017 year, that Lord, they will walk in and be lights in a dark place. Lord, I pray that they would live for You. That their fellow students and fellow teachers will know that there is something different. Lord, I pray for our church as we get into the routine of schedules that we have in front of us with the start of school and start of extracurricular. That, Lord, we will not neglect the reading and learning and praying. Lord, I pray that You would speak through me this morning. Put the words in my mouth that You want me to say. It's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we honor God's Word? James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Would you please be seated? So last week we learned, how do you respond when you're being tested? Today, it's really quite easy. How do you respond when you hear the Word of God? That's what we're talking about today. How do you respond when you're tested? Today is, how do you respond when you hear the Word of God? I wish I could tell you that, man, you've got to get into... Actually, I don't wish you. You've got to get into the Greek, and you've got to do all this intense study to really understand what's being said here. I got news for you. It's right there. It's right there. It's just not that hard to figure out, what is he saying here? I've got news for you. I realize in this room we all have different callings in life. You've been called to your vocation. I've been called to my vocation. As a pastor or minister, I believe that it's important that those who have been called to be ministers, to be pastors, we ought to be good teachers. We ought to sit under learned professors, people who have studied the culture, the history. We ought to learn the Greek and the Hebrew language. We ought to learn Scripture. But hear me on this. When it comes to our calling as people of God, guess what? We have different gifts, but we have the exact same calling. And James makes that clear right here. I want to tell you, but if I told you right now, we could end the sermon, and I know I want to get through this. What is our calling? Well, first of all, when you begin to hear the word, he tells us. Quick to hear and slow to speak. What's amazing in our culture today is that everyone believes that their voice should be heard. Social media. Everyone, matter of fact, not only am I on social media, you ought to follow me and hear what I have to say. So not only do they believe that their voice should be heard, their voice should carry the same weight as everyone else. The reality is that's false. I can tell you that we should be quick to hear and slow to speak. I spent 12 years in seminary, and I promise you, my speaking was much, much, much less than my hearing. Far too often in Sunday school classes, in churches, what we have are classes where the teacher will stand up and say, "Here's the passage," and everyone's ready to go. "Well, here's what it means to me. Well, here's what it means to me. Well, here's what it means to me." And the next thing you know, what you've got is a class where everyone believes that they're equal in what the Scripture means to them, and you have a plurality of meanings of Scripture. Certainly, Scripture will hit us in different places and deal with us in different ways, but I have news for you. The Scripture means something. It doesn't mean everything. You ought to listen to the teacher who has studied the lesson, who has learned what did the writer, what was he addressing, what was he trying to communicate, and that's what the passage means. In expository preaching, the whole point is that you go and you look at the passage and you say, what was the intent of the author? Not what was the intent of all the listeners. We ought to be quick to hear God's word. Slow to speak. When you hear God's word, you ought to be slow to anger. Do you know what this is talking about? Many people, when someone gets angry at them, they go, "Oh, Scripture says you ought to be slow to anger." Trust me, I do believe we ought to be slow to anger with one another. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about anger against the word. Against the Word of God. And some of you may go, "Well, surely we would never be angry at the Word of God." Are you kidding me? I have been. And I've seen it. You see, the anger that's spoken about here is when we read the Word of God, we ought to be slow to speak, quick to hear, but slow to anger as well. You see, we have our opinions and we have our pet sins and our desires. And when we find that the Word confronts those opinions or that sin, it does bring anger. And many times that anger, do you know how it's carried out? It's hard to get mad at a book. So what do you get mad at? The one who proclaims it. The teacher. The preacher. The church. Get mad at the church. It says we ought to be slow to anger. In the 20 years that I've taught and preached, I've had individuals kick me out of their home. I've had groups of individuals invite me into their home and say, "Guess what? We're going to tell you what you are going to preach." I've had letters and emails that have said some very awful things because I have preached the Word of God. And listen to me. I have dealt with when the Word of God has been in conflict with what I thought or what I wanted to do. And I've said this often. My kids hear me say it. You've heard me say it. If your belief conflicts with the Word of God, there's only one option. Change your belief. The Word of God is not changing. Many times we don't want to hear the person who says, this is what God's Word says. And then we lash out. We really think that we're lashing out at that person, but the reality is we don't like what God's Word had to say. So we lash out at the person. When you hear the Word of God, you need to reject sin, the filthiness. You need to reject the wickedness and receive the Word of God with meekness. As long as we hold on to sin, we're not holding on to the Word. You can't hold on to both of those. You can't. It puts a barrier there and you can't hold on to the Word. And even when we have put away wickedness and filthiness, we must receive the Word of God in meekness, in humility. We don't know it all and we don't understand it all. And we haven't heard it all. Listen to me. We are finite, sinful creatures. And yet, in our hands, think about this just for a moment. Wretched sinner, finite, and yet in my hands, I hold the infallible Word of God, inspired and given to us by the infinite God. Meekness. Why would He even trust us with this? How many times have we abused this? And yet He says, because I love you, I give you my Word so that you will know me. Wretched sinner, finite, infallible from an infinite God. Shame on us. Shame on me. When we get in our car, in the back seat. That way it's there when I get there, when I get to church next week. It's a prop. Receive it with meekness. So quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Reject filthiness, wretchedness. Receive it with meekness. But people, listen to me. Listen. That's not the goal. That's not the goal. Well, we've heard it. We've received it. Got it. That's not the goal. It's important to know what the goal is, by the way. It really is important to know. I mean, if I was a soccer coach, I'd be sure that my players knew. This is the goal. All of that, that's not the goal. I've been to enough soccer games to know that there are a lot of kicks in a soccer game. But the one that's really important is the one that puts it in the goal. That's the important one. That's the way you win the game. Lots of players kick it out of bounds. They kick it over the goal. They kick it beside the goal. They kick it to other players. Great, but you got to get it in the goal. And the goal is not, well, I've received it. I've heard it. But be doers of the Word. So let me just be sure that we understand what's not the goal. It's not the goal that we have religious knowledge. Man, how careful you and I, especially I, have to be in this area. The goal is not, oh man, I've gone to the classes and I've heard the professors and I've taken the test and I've written the papers and guess what I know. It's not the goal. It's not about us getting together and seeing. It's not about us going to Sunday school and seeing, does the teacher, is he or she gonna tell me something I didn't know, and that way I've got some more knowledge? Or is the pastor going to give us a nugget of scripture that we've never really seen before, and then that was a good week because the pastor showed us something that we didn't know? If the aim is to come here and get some more religious knowledge, if that's the goal, you messed up. That's not the goal. It's been written. There is nothing more awful than that of the man who has striven to know rather than love. He strives to know rather than to love. And finds himself at last in a world of barren theories, loving none, and adoring nothing. Religious knowledge is not the goal. Well, guess what else isn't the goal? Religious feeling. We are not proclaiming the Word of God so that you can feel a certain way. How many times do I hear, oh, I love going to that church. I feel so good there. I love the way that preacher talks because he makes me feel good. I should not preach and you should not teach in order to create or manufacture a feeling. Don't get me wrong. You may have the feeling of conviction, of encouragement or hope, but that is not the goal. That's not the goal. It's not a goal for you to feel a certain way. And too many people, you go on a mission trip, or you go on camp, you go to youth camp, or you have a revival, and what happens is you get that feeling, that spiritual high, and all of a sudden that becomes your God rather than God being God. Well, if I can't have that, then there's no reason to go back. I love the feeling. Let me tell you what else is not the goal. There we go. Religious talk. When you find yourself at the Sunday lunch table or talking with your friends who perhaps went to another church and you're comparing what you heard, let's talk about it. The goal of hearing God's Word is not so you can talk about it. One way you can check yourself on this, well, Paul, how do I know if that is my goal? How do I know if talking about it is the goal? Well, if you're here today or any time and you're sitting here listening to me and your thought is, you know who needs to hear that sermon? My brother needs to hear that sermon. My spouse needs to hear that sermon. My parents need to hear that sermon. My kid definitely needs to hear that sermon. And then what do you find yourself doing? You find yourself going home or meeting with that person, and you can reproduce part of the sermon because they need to hear it and you're ready to talk about it. But that's not the end goal. Certainly, I want to encourage you to talk about the sermons. Talk about what you learned in Sunday school class. Good night. Talk about what you read and you discovered in God's Word. But the goal is not religious talk when you hear Scripture. The goal is religious doing. That's the goal. That's the goal. Religious doing. It is to do the Word of God. God's Word is not an intangible concept, a theory, or merely a philosophy that's out there. It is something to be acted upon. Can you imagine if you were a math teacher and you were teaching and the student, he understood it, he felt good about it, he talked about it, but then he simply couldn't do the math. He simply couldn't add two and two. Now, I know what a two is, and I feel good about two. I understand two. It's two! Well, put two of those together. I can't. Just four. You got to do it. Jesus said, if you love me, you will know what I said. That's not what he said. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll feel good about what I said. That's not what he said. He said, if you love me, you'll talk about me. It's not what he said. What he actually said in John 14:15, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will do these things. There's an action. There's a doing. John 13:17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Each week I ask you, is God telling you to do something? And then what's the word that I use? Respond. Do it. Too many times, I really believe, even in this small church, we walk out of there and we're going, man, God spoke to me. I loved being there. Man, He was all over me. I felt convicted, felt. You heard. Man, I know some things. I know some things that I, what, ought to do. And then you walk out the door. You heard, you felt the Lord saying, go forward, go pray, grab your spouse, grab your child, grab your accountability partner, do it. And you walk out and say, oh, that was a great worship service. But you didn't do what he told you to do. The goal of us going to Bible study, the goal of coming here and worshiping and hearing the Word of God, the goal of the ladies' Bible study that's about to start, the goal of teaching your kids and team kids that will start up, the goal of all of that, of the adult Bible studies, of the youth Bible studies, is so that you will go and be and live and do the Word of God. John MacArthur, I believe he got it right when he said, it is not a question of what one claims to have experienced, but how one lives in light of the Word of God. I had a great experience. I was at youth camp and I felt God just rain down on me. What are you doing with it? We're told in 1 John, those who do not practice righteousness are not of God. In other words, you got to flip it around. Those who do practice righteousness are of God. You've heard me talk about this many times. I've heard it from teenagers. I've heard it from adults. How do I know if I'm saved? It was so long ago. Paul, I was five. I was in elementary school. It was at a youth camp. I'm not five anymore. I'm 50. That was so long ago. So much in life has changed. I'm not in school. I've raised my kids. I'm working hard at my job. I'm realizing that most likely the majority of my life is behind me, not in front. I don't know what number of days the Lord has for me. Certainly that was a reality even as my dad passed away. And I'm going, I'm 47. If I were to pass away when my dad did, I've only got 20 plus years left. The majority of my life is behind me. How do I know? 2 Peter. Peter tells us this. Be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and you choosing him. Oh, no, no, no. Be certain about his calling and him choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. How do I know? Are you living and doing the Word of God? Well, what are these things? Virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. How do I know? What are you doing? What are you doing? That's the goal. That's the goal. You really didn't even need to take notes. It's right there. That's what he says. This is what you do when you hear the word of God. This is how you receive it. This is what you do with it. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Too many times that describes way too many in the church. Here it is. I've been told this is what I ought to do. And then I go out in the world and I'm doing something completely different. What happened? Did you not know what you look like? I mean, you said you were called. You're a believer. And then you go out in the world and I don't even remember that guy. Now I'm this guy. We compartmentalize our life. Well, that's my church life. That's my Wednesday night life. That's my Sunday morning life. That's that life. But this life, this is my business life. This is my school life. This is my hanging out with my friends life. I don't even remember what that guy looks like. I'll get back to him Sunday morning. I'm doing my own thing. I'm not practicing the righteousness of God. It's this guy that will come to me and say, am I that guy? Am I really saved? But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, keeps going. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I told you that James is very easy to read, very easy to understand, extremely difficult to live. Closing my Bible. What will you do? How will you respond? Pastor did a good job today. Brought out something I never heard before. I'm glad I heard that. I got some more knowledge. It's good. Keep that in mind in case I get in an argument. Got it. What will you do? During the invitation, I'm asking you again to respond to God's word. What is he calling you to do? Are you practicing righteousness? Please hear me. Please hear me. Again, it's not the one who struggles. It's the one who's not struggling. It's the one who says, oh yeah, this is who I am. This is my life over here, this is what I like. That's the one that I'm worried about. Not the one who's going, man, I'm striving for this. I feel this ripping, this tearing, this violence as I am tested to go over here. But this is where I want to be, and I'm working toward that. Man, you're in a good place. That's where you want to be. Anyone who tells you, I'm always here, I never even struggle with that, I'm worried about that person too. Because that's just not real life. The testing is a violent thing. Hear the word. Slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen, and then do it. Practice it. Live it out. What will you do this morning? I'll be here to pray with you. I'll be here to receive you. But you've got to do what God is telling you to do. Do what he's telling you to do. Let's pray.